Deuteronomy 30 and 8 to 20, we see something significant happen. It's a turning point in Israel's story. They reach the last leg of their journey before they get to the promised land. And last week, if you remember, when we started our series, remember how Mary and Joseph went on a journey to Jerusalem and they lost the most precious thing that they had. They thought they had lost Jesus. Remember how also I talked about how abandonment, how we can feel abandonment at times, how abandonment can lead to deterioration, how we can abandon our first love, our walk with Jesus, especially when we lose sight of Jesus and everything he's trying to do. And even though we lose sight of him, the beautiful part in all of this is he never loses sight of us. Sure, he doesn't. God always has our eyes on us, even when we wander. And we would see in last week's story how God's people would gather, how they would come to meet from all their history and everything they've been through, that to a significant point they would meet in Jerusalem and they would come and remember this. Remember I said it, how they would have these words inscribed in their minds and on their hearts. Those powerful words where it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day in whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served before the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands are you living. But those words that he says to you to put in our minds and inscribe in our heart, but for me and for my household, for me and for my household, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and for my household, we're going to serve the Lord. What beautiful words to have inscribed in our hearts this morning. And our reading, as I've just sort of mentioned there, Deuteronomy 30, 18 to 20, and we're going to go to Joshua 3, 1 to 8 as well. Deuteronomy 30, 18 to 20, I declare to you that this day that you will be certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing to the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call on the heavens and the earth as you witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we go to Joshua 3, 1 and 8, crossing the Jordan River. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before the crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from the positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you have never been this way before, be kept at a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt in your eyes of all Israel, so you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Let us just pray. So, Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, may you speak to us this morning. May we hear your word clearly this morning. Lord, whatever it is you want to say, whatever encouragement you want to give us, whatever ground you want us to move through or break through this morning, Lord, may it just be a challenge to our hearts. Amen. So remember this morning, God's people had been in slavery for over 400 years in Egypt. And God uses the man called Moses to deliver them, as we know the story so well. It was Moses who would take them through the Red Sea. It was Moses that would bring them to the edge of Sinai, where they would receive the law. And they would wander the wilderness, we know this, don't we, for over 40 years because of their grumbling, because of their moaning, And because of their disobedience, there's a sermon on that already, isn't there? Just that one wee verse. They didn't get to where God wanted them because they complained. They moaned and they were disobedient. Moses is now dead. An entire generation would never get to this point in our reading that we see this morning. An entire generation never get to see the promised land that they longed for. They never get even to the edge of it for all that God had in store for them. God raises up another, a man called Joshua, and they reach the shores of the Jordan River, and they set up camp, we're told, for 3 days and for 3 nights. They have come so far. They now sit on the edge of the promised land. They're so close. They can see it and they can't touch it. Do you ever get that place where you see something and just can't touch it? They see what God has and they just can't touch out for it. They've almost made it. They're ready for it. They're so in need of it. And they've never been so ready for God to fulfill the promise that has been promised to them. The promise that the land would be theirs. We know there's a fight on for that at the minute. We see it in our news. The land that is just across this Jordan River. The land that comes with the promise, we know of this, of milk and honey. And in the way of the promise is the Jordan River. Standing in the way that all that God has for them is a river that's flowing. Standing in the way from the deliverance God had brought them out of. God bringing his people on a certain journey. And God had said to these people, I have something for you. It's actually reachable. It is touchable. It's yours. And you can have it and you need to go and get it. But there was a problem, wasn't there, in our story? There was something that stood in front of the promise. It was so close. I just can't picture being camped on the edge of a river and wanting to cross it and I can't. They stand on the verge, on the edge, on the cusp of everything that God has for them. They're so close to what God has promised their ancestors. The one thing that they've been waiting for, they've been trusting for, and they've been praying for, and they've actually complained about it all. And they're standing on the edge of all of this. And they're expecting God to deliver it to them. The promise that was theirs, the promise that was given, we read in Deuteronomy, the promise that was given to Abraham, that was given to Isaac, and that was given to Jacob. And we need to understand this morning, this generation of people have waited their entire life for this moment. Think about that. Just pause there a minute. Think about a time you've been waiting on something. You've been exciting. You've been expecting. Think it can be something that's so immaterial. It can be something that's minor. But think about when you're waiting. Anybody like waiting on the Amazon man? That's probably one of my favorite hobbies, okay? I can see him coming on my wee map and all and going, he's 2 stops away. Then all of a sudden he disappears and going, what happened to him? But he's on his way. But think about waiting on something so long and you're just expecting it to happen. They've been waiting their entire life. It was just not waiting on a thing coming. It just wasn't waiting on something insignificant. They've been waiting their entire life for this moment. They had learned about it. They probably read about it, probably kept talking about it. I'm sure that was their journey. But this is their turning point in their story. And they could only dream, as we see in this portion of Scripture, they could only dream of what was in store. They could only imagine what it would be like. Everything that they would inherit was now theirs almost. The Jordan River stood between them and the promise. A flood level river. It was flowing. It was severe. It was impassable. It was immovable. It was uncrossable. 3 days and nights, God put his people, let them be in a place where there was a problem. They're kept at the edge of an overflowing river, unable to cross it. They could see it, as I've already said, and they couldn't touch it. For 3 days and three nights, God had them looking at their problem. Listen to me this morning. For 3 days, God had them looking and facing their problem. So close, but so far. For 3 days and night, it became familiar. 3 days they had to ponder it. 3 days they had to be frustrated. 3 days they were maybe irritated that something was stopping them in their tracks. 3 days isn't that long nowadays, sure it's not. But for 3 days, for these people that God says, go and I will deliver you, something stopped them in their tracks. And I wonder this morning, as I was reading this and thinking about this week, I wonder if God always wants us to face our problems. It seemed that God allowed them to sit in front of what was holding them back. God was letting them face their problem. So why would God bring them to this point? Why would he not just allow them to cross over immediately? Here's a thought. Maybe God wanted them to confront what was holding them back. Maybe God wanted them to confront what was holding them back. Maybe God needed them to realize this morning. Just how incapable they were. Just how weak they were without his help. Maybe this is what he was doing. And maybe this is what God wants to realize, make us realize this morning. Maybe he wants us to realize that we have a weakness. Does anybody admit that? We're such a weak people. Maybe somebody needs to hear this morning. There are problems in front of you. There are blockages in front of you. There are obstacles in your way. There's something that's staring you in the face that only God can solve, that only God can move, and only God can take you through. For some of us this morning, we just might be standing on the threshold this morning, standing on the edge of a breakthrough this morning, and it could be our turning point. Listen, if God has promised you something and you haven't seen it yet, see, when you believe in the promise of God, when you exercise his promise, there will always be a barrier. There will always be a blockage. There will always be an obstacle to God fulfilling his promise. Has anybody seen that? Has anybody had to journey that? Has anybody had to live that? When God has a promise for us, whether it's a church or individual, there will always be barriers in the road of the promise. But as we've seen last week, God always has a plan, doesn't he? And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, whether it's years or months or whatever that looks like, God is always wanting us as a people, always trying to get us to move forwards, always trying to move us on, always trying to get us from here to here to where he wants us. The Christian life, and I don't know about your life, I know about my life, it isn't one that should stand still. It should never stagnate, and it does. We're meant to be movers, aren't we? We're meant to be shakers. We're meant to be people that get from here to here quickly with God's help. And here's another thought this morning. Do you ever think that obstacles are just a sign that God is moving you? Do you ever think if you have a problem and it's so big that maybe God's involved in that? Maybe God is challenging you. Maybe God is stirring you into what he has for you. There will always be obstacles in the way. Why? Because it's just going to show us how much we need God. It's always the purpose of an obstacle or a problem in our lives. Only God can move the mountain. Isn't that what we're reading? Isn't that what we sing sometimes in our songs? Only God can move the mountains. Only God can restore the broken. Only God can heal the broken heart. Only God can help us with our bad habits, can't they? Have you ever tried stopping something? It's really, really hard without God's help. And only God can bring us through this morning. See, God wants us to face the obstacles this morning. God always wants us to face our problems. Not because he's cruel. Not because he wants to punish us. Here's what God is doing when he brings us to a place. When God has a plan for us, he will always bring us to this place before the promise is fulfilled. Here's what he's doing. And here's what he really wants us to focus on. He wants you to know this morning how weak you actually are. And yet, why do we try and control things? Why do we try and sort the problems out? Why do we try and fix what is broken when only God is the answer? God wants you to realize this morning just how weak you are without him. And how you can't move forwards without him. Sometimes he needs to take us to that place, that Jordan River, that river that's flowing, that river that's impassable. He wants us to take us to that place to realize we can't get any further without him. We can't go on. We can't do this without him. You see, the significance of our reading this morning, the significance of the Jordan River this morning, when it's mentioned in Scripture, the Jordan River, it often represents freedom that comes after a long season of adversity and waiting. When the Jordan River is mentioned in Scripture, it often represents freedom that comes from a long season of adversity and waiting. And I'm mentioning it this morning, okay? It was their last leg. The crossing was the turning point. It was the place of deliverance, a place of breakthrough. The turning point here in this portion of Scripture for Israel was significant. From wilderness to a place that was flowing with milk and honey. From bondage to freedom. From a lack to plenty. It was a place of spiritual crossing. It was the place where God was going to deliver his people. But most of all, out of the whole story, out of the whole journey, it was a place where God wanted to deal with their hearts. What did Jesus say the greatest commandment was when he was asked it? He tells us in Luke 10 and 27, Jesus answered them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." And I don't know about you. Maybe you're different than me. Maybe you can do things far better. I lack so much in my life. And this is why I need turning points as much as you do. I lack spiritual discipline. Does anybody else in here lack spiritual discipline? It doesn't come easy. Sure it doesn't. There's always something stopping me wanting to go to God's word. There's always something hindering me praying to God. There's always something when God has something in front of me. There's always a blockage. There's always an obstacle. Here's why. I'm always trying to get to God on my own. I'm always trying to do it in my own strength. I'm always trying to. Instead of inviting him in. Instead of saying, "Lord, I need you so much. I can't do this on my own." Sometimes, don't do it as much as I do now because I'm here, I forsake the fellowship of believers. I don't always meet with them. I don't always want to meet with them. That was in the past because of my lack of spiritual discipline. Sometimes I just give in to a theology that isn't of God. I don't read as often as I should. I don't pray as often as I would like, as I think I should. See, the breakdown of spirituality begins with the breakdown of spiritual discipline. And I know life isn't easy. I know that. It's not easy for any of us in here. It's busy. It's disappointing at times. We get discouraged. I don't know. Do you ever get discouraged? We get discouraged. The unexpected always happens and throws us off guard. I'm not talking about them moments, but I'm talking about building foundations. But life isn't easy. Stacks of barriers that stop us connecting with God. But listen, it's always a matter of the heart. Proverbs 3 and 5 to 6, Claire's favorite verse. To trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not to lean in your own understanding. In all your ways, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your life, acknowledge Him. Listen, He will make your path straight. He will remove the barriers. He will remove the blockages. He will help you cross over. To trust the Lord with all of our hearts this morning. God wants our hearts. But here's the problem when He's after your heart, okay? There's always an attitude with it, isn't there? Does anybody in here ever have an attitude? Nobody's putting their hands up. Put your hands up. Does anybody in here ever have an attitude? Here's a thing. Here's a thought, just as I come to my last point. I wonder if God puts blockages up and barriers up and obstacles up to test our attitude. A generation of people never seen what God had for them because of their attitude. Think about that. A generation would never see the promised land and everything God would have for them. Everything that they needed, everything that what would supply for them. They never seen it because of their attitude. Because of how they responded even to God. See, our response. And there's no problem in complaining to God. I do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with our requests. There's nothing wrong with our grievances with God, through God, and everything of that there. But we have an attitude at times, don't we? We have a chip on our shoulder. The Psalms, if we read them, are full of complaints of David and others. They're full of problems. They're full of requests for God to do something, for God to act. Would you do something, Lord? That's the Psalms. In Psalm 42 and 5, David would cry out in his grief, his pain, even in his depression. Yet in all he had done, and all he went through, I love the story of David because he's so messed up in many ways, yet he was a man after God's own heart. But everything he went through, the good and the bad, and all his experiences, David knew God was his only hope. Knowing that God was the one who would fulfill his promises, he knew God was after his heart, and David gave his heart to God. He knew that God was looking always at his attitude and everything that he'd done. And David also knew this. Not only was he after his heart, not only was he looking at his attitude, but he also knew it was a matter of humility. You see, before they entered the promised land, before they could move, before they could enter, they needed to repent. To repent for the lack of discipline even. Repent for their lack of trust in God. Repent in putting other gods before God. And we think you don't do that. We all do it. We all put other gods in front of Him, don't we? Anything that comes in front of God is a god. When we rely on our own understanding, we end up going our own way, don't we? We end up doing our own thing. Then we try to justify it, don't we? The amount of people I hear trying to justify things that God's in the story. And I'm going, I don't see God in that story. The amount of time we try to justify, but that, but this, but that, but this, but that, but God knows. Here's the problem. We bring God into our journey. Into our plans. Into how we do things. Instead of doing it His way, coming into His plans, coming into His ways, surrendering to everything that He's doing, not what we're doing. We're on God's journey. He's not on our journey. That's where it all goes wrong. I've had to learn that the hard way. It's where in Matthew's gospel, we see this Jordan River, and we see the significance of this crossover and what all that God's doing with His people. We see in Matthew's gospel, John the Baptist starts to baptize those from the surrounding areas. It's where they would come and confess. It's the same river that we see Jesus baptized into. It's the sea where people would come and surrender. It's that river, the Jordan River, that crossing that their ancestors had. It was the turning point for their ancestors. And in Jesus' time, it was their turning point as well. Nobody ever came to the Jordan River and left the same way. That's significant, isn't it? That's significant. Nobody would ever come to that point with God, that crossing over, and leave the same way. In many ways, it was a physical marker. We know it's a place of submersion because they got baptized. It was a place where they would cross over into an old life and into a new life. It was significant that Jesus was baptized there. Not because Jesus needed to be baptized. It was a way to fulfill righteousness. It's what released Jesus into ministry. It was significant that God would be found in the Jordan River. It was significant that God would be in the place that there was a barrier, an obstacle, a problem. It was significant to know this morning as I come to finish. It was significant to know that God was in the place where we needed him most. Joshua 4 and 18 tells us, and the priests came out off the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage before them. It's amazing when I read the story of the Jordan River, and it says where God dried up the Jordan River and they crossed through. They reckon, and it was a guy in Israel actually was talking a wee bit about this, the river would have backed up for 15 miles so they could cross. The blockage removed 15 miles away so the children of Israel could cross. And I wonder this morning, as we start to close, as we come to pray and we think about this turning point in our story this morning, for everybody who wants to see a change in their lives, from the mundane to whatever God has for them, a change even in your circumstances, whether that's a physical thing, whether it's a spiritual thing, whether it's a blockage, whether it's trouble, whatever that looks like for you this morning, as we come to pray this morning, I'm just going to get you to stand up and do nothing else. But maybe even in your hearts this morning. Maybe even in your attitude this morning. This could be your Jordan River moment. You could look back in January one day and say, that's where God dealt with me. That's where I made a marker in the sand and says, I'm going to cross over. See, the Ark of the Covenant, when they brought it into the Jordan, it represented new life. And even though you're walking with God for many years, listen, I still need new life. I still need new thoughts. I still need new in my life all the time. It represented a new start when the Ark of the Covenant came in. It represented breakthrough to anyone who wanted it, to all who would receive it. It represented that something was about to shift. Something was about to change. And maybe this morning, I don't know, it's a turning point in your story. Maybe it's time to give God your problems instead of always telling him about them. Maybe it's even time again to give God your heart again. Remember, he's always after our hearts. Maybe it's even the time this morning to change your attitude. Boy, does he work on me in that one. See, if we're going to be the people that God has called us to be, if we're going to go out into the world and preach the gospel as we're meant to, not always preaching it, but we need to live it as well. If we're to be that type of person, do we think we need Jesus on the journey? Can we do that on our own? We're going to need him more than we ever have. We're going to need him, trust him more than we ever have. We're going to need him more and more and more than ever we ever have. And I don't know about you. I look at my journey and I look at where I am today, and I need him more today than I ever have. Even when I was in times of problems, I need God more and more and more. For me to be the father that he wants me to be. The grandfather that he wants me to be. And thank you for patience this morning, Lord. But for me to be all that God's called me to be. For someone here to be the mother that God's called you to be. The sister, the granny, the auntie, whatever that looks like for you. Wherever God has called you to be, wherever you are, wherever you go, you're going to need to cross over into that. To be a better son. To be a better daughter. To be a better friend. To encourage everyone around you. To take everybody in the journey of God with you. You're going to need to cross over. For me, it's to be kinder. I know that's what God's dealing with me on, my mouth. What I say and what comes out is to be kinder in my words and my actions to everybody else. I know that's where God's dealing in my heart, to be a kinder person. And that's not a giving thing. That's coming out of here. To watch my words, to watch what I say, to how I judge others, to be kinder. I don't know if it's to be a better boss, whoever's boss is in here, whoever thinks they're the boss in their home, I don't know. I see somebody laughing there. Whoever the boss is in your house, to be a better boss in business and in the home, to be a better employee, even, to be a better work colleague, to be the person that God's called you to be, you're going to need your Jordan moment probably every day of every week of every year, okay? It's not a one-off, this crossing. It's something that needs done continually. We all need Jordan moments to cross into the place where God wants us to be. When we look what's ahead, when we think of this year, when you look at the news and you look at all the stuff that's happening in the world today, I don't know, I get anxious looking at it sometimes, and that's why I don't look at it anymore, but I do get anxious. It just comes in me naturally, and I have to go, no, I'm going to have to trust God in this. To hand everything over to God. To surrender to his plans and his purposes. Listen, I'm going to say something about this little series that we're doing, and it is just a wee series. Let January... It's not full of New Year's resolutions. Let this January be your Jordan moment. You mightn't feel it. You mightn't be doing anything about it at the minute. It mightn't just be happening. But let this January be the change. Let it even be in your attitude. Let it even be in your heart. Isaiah 43 and 42 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. I want to live that type of life where I need Jesus so much, nothing can touch me. Although I will always have problems and blockages and all the rest of it. To trust Jesus with our lives, with everything we have, even though some of us might be a mess, because I'm messy as well, so I am. Even in the mess, trusting Jesus with it all. Trust that God will see us safely through. To come to the one daily. Has anybody cracked the daily stuff coming to him daily? Especially when you're busy, especially when you're working, especially when problems rise up, especially when you have so much to do. To come to him daily. To sit at his feet. To come to the one this morning. That is greater than any other name that we could mention today. To the one who is full of grace and is full of truth. To come to our wonderful counselor. To come to our mighty God. To come to our everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace this morning. And as I just round up, Jesus, who is the truth and the way, the Word that became flesh, the one who would die and would rise again. To the one that brings us hope. To the one that brings us life, to the one that brings us purpose, to come to Jesus this morning, to know who knows our troubles, who knows our past, thankfully he does, who knows the future. We can't forget that Jesus knows the future. To come to him this morning as I come to pray, to come to him with all we have, to make this our crossing point our turning point. As the guys are going to come back and play our last song, let's all stand this morning.